Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Welcome into WEEI Afternoons. Fresh off the Foxborough practice field where it is steaming. Andy Hart here alongside Dan Ball.
Hey.
I'm going to separate your name. When you move into the big chair, it's not Dan Ball. It's Dan.
Yeah.
Ball.
When I crawl out of my producer hole
yep,
to
jump in.
You're
out of the hole.
In.
You're in the big chair.
Good for me.
Fitzy's off. Ted Johnson's on his Monday usual. And we're talking a little Patriots football, unfortunately for the wrong reasons. Because if I said to you, Dan Ball.
Yeah.
Give me your list of, I don't know, four Patriots who can't get hurt this season if this team is going to surprise, if this team's going to compete for 500 and a wild card. Give me a couple of names.
Drake May, you know.
Good news, he's not hurt.
All right, fantastic. That's good. As of right now, though, it seems like the offensive line is doing everything
Stinks.
It can to try to get him hurt. And then it's Christian Gonzalez.
Uh-oh, bad news.
And I feel like there's a relatively significant gap between two and three on that list, too.
Yeah, bad news.
Okay.
Christian Gonzalez limped off the practice field today. Good news is he limped off.
Yeah, absolutely. Under
it's
his own power.
Always better than carted off.
Was grabbing the back of his leg. Looked to be hamstring-ish. Not to speculate, but that's exactly what we're doing.
So do you...
Season's over.
Did you guys read the Choose Your Own Adventure books as kids?
Yeah.
Did you have those? And the story can go in different directions. Turn to 177 if you say yes, 142 if you say no.
Yep.
Choose Your Own Adventure here on WEEI Afternoons on a beautiful Monday.
Absolutely.
This whole damn week. I should have taken the whole week off. Should have said, screw y'all and just...
I mean, yeah, you could use another one.
This is boat and beach and beer weather. The three B's of my life, baby. But throw my wife in there. It might be a fourth B, but we're not doing that here today. She might be listening.
I was thinking it.
So do you want my cynical response to Christian Gonzalez limping off with a hamstring injury or my spin zone, spin it positive
response? Oh, my God.
Response?
Is the Pope Catholic cynical all day?
Okay. So the headline I would have written in my old days, whether it be for Patriots Football Weekly or WEEI.com, Gonzo, colon, Patriots season goes down drain as all-pro corner limps off with injury. Because this is supposed to be a great defense. He's supposed to be a great player.
I would have bought that.
I would have bought that newsletter.
And we don't know how major it is, but he is one of those guys you can't lose because we'll talk about it later. We got a lot of practice fields observations that I need to get through. It was hot, but I had the notebook out. It was so hot. There's all these wet spots all over the notebook from like my arms sweating and dripping on the note.
That's part of the summer, though. That's part of your grinding. That's
I do need to apologize to you. There's definitely a little funk in here right now. I definitely my waistband is like wet. I noticed. I should have had a change of clothes. Sorry.
I mean, so there's nowhere to hide out where you guys are watching practice from, right?
Well, there's this tent, but it's actually hotter in the tent than on the field because there's three walls and there's no air movement in the tent. It's like a greenhouse. You bake in there, so you sit on the hill in front of the tent where you just bake in the sun.
And then you
sweat.
Probably got a bunch of people who are also dying hot and also trying to seek refuge under there. So you got a bunch of other people that reek with you.
So it's sweaty, it's hot, it's gross, it's everything.
For the love of the game, though.
You really should shower when you leave there. But anyway.
Been thinking that all day.
Back to Christian Gonzalez.
Okay.
So there's also the cynical aspect of he limped off with a hamstring injury after he got his booty kicked by Kayshon Booty a number of times in one-on-ones.
Smoked.
And that's not good. Kayshon Booty, love you, mean it. I actually want you on this team because I think you've built a rapport with Drake May over the last couple of years. But if you're smoking Christian Gonzalez, maybe Christian Gonzalez is not as good as I thought he was.
No, that's fair. But, I mean, there's also an argument that maybe he was a little tight in the hamstring area to begin with. And
holy, get the train rolling, Stiz. Oh, my God.
I beat you to your own spin zone.
Holy, that's not even my spin zone.
Yeah.
I got a good spin zone.
Okay.
But did you hear that, Stiz? He just said he got beat before the injury because it was a little tight. He was already dealing. You're the ultimate apologist.
You think it just came up out of nowhere?
Fitzy is the more objective member of this show, clearly.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Absolutely. That's what they're all saying.
You were making excuse. So he was
I'm making an excuse for an all-pro and a top 100 player in the league. Yeah. Yeah. God forbid.
Good Lord.
And not trying to extrapolate Kayshon Booty kicking his ass for one day at camp.
Also, you said that like he's, you know, well-established. He's played one season. He didn't play as a rookie, essentially.
Yeah.
3.5 games he was out of there. He had a good year last year. You know who was an all-pro rookie corner his rookie season? Devin McCourty.
Okay.
You know what he was his second season? One of the worst cornerbacks I've ever seen that they had to bump to safety. So the all-pro express, which is a different train, not that one.
But was he a bad NFLer? Bad NFL player?
Oh, so if Christian Gonzalez goes to safety, he'll still be an all-pro corner?
It means he
sucks at corner.
But
and
is he still a great NFL player?
That's like saying a running back went to fullback and became an all-pro fullback.
Or your left tackle went to left guard.
Back. Right.
Yeah.
Tell me if you're defending Will Campbell when he's moving. Christian Campbell we'll get to later, too, by the way. I am more and more on the trade train there. Keep an eye on what's going on at Worcester, and it's all good things if you want to trade Christian Campbell, getting hot at the right time. But no, if he moves away from corner, he's no longer an all-pro and he's no longer a good pick. But he is one of the most important players on this team.
Okay.
He is absolutely, and the fact that
I thought he sucked, but yeah, okay, that's
fine. One day, actually not even a day, an hour plus into pads, he's off in the training shed, they call it, down the far end of the training camp fields, is not how a team like the Patriots, who all things need to go right if they're going to reach 8, 9, or 10 wins.
100%.
And they have no depth.
Right.
Because you know who else is also not out there?
Carlton Davis. So all of a sudden, a position group that was regarded as one of your strongest, if not your strongest, just in terms of your starters, is now showing that lack of depth right off the bat as you go for your wet notepad. Yeah, that's at least a reason for moderate concern at this point. Go ahead.
27, 25, and 28. We know who 25 is because he might be your slot corner no matter what. Marcus Jones.
Yes.
27 and 28. Do you know who those are?
Off the top of my head, no, I do not. I got a Marcellus Dial at 27, and I'm cheating, and I can't find 28 quick enough to be able to answer the question.
Okay, so you don't even know who the corners are going to be? I don't either.
Right.
Might be Alex Austin. He's one of those guys that is nice depth if they are depth behind Gonzalez and Davis.
Yes.
If they're on the field to start the season or anywhere near the start of the season, you're concerned and your season is going down the crapper. Okay, but I'm going to flip this script wholeheartedly. Nothing is over nothing. Do you remember the summer of 2007? Actually, you probably don't. Where the hell were you the summer of 2007?
2007?
Like elementary school? I was at the Y pool.
I was 9 years old.
And my camp instructor had to take me with my lunchbox to the shaded area for lunch.
Your impression is so flattering. Do you have a point at the end of the sentence
2007,
anywhere?
Training camp. Randy Moss pulled his hamstring early. Boom. Gone. Never saw him again. It's like, oh, crap. He's supposed to be part of the whole rebuilt offense. Moss and Welker and the whole thing. Crap.
Right.
Never saw him again, so never had a chance to build up expectations or fears or anything. Is he done? Is he not done? He was hurt. He had a hamstring injury. He went out against the Jets. What did he do? Have like 7 catches for $160 and a couple touchdowns to start one of the greatest seasons in the history of the world. Sometimes these hamstrings happen in camp. Wouldn't be the worst thing if Christian Gonzalez just disappears and comes back in a month and starts the season and is ready to go. So I am not burying the season, burying Christian Gonzalez, burying the Patriots yet because I saw it with Randy Moss. Hamstring injuries in July do not necessarily equate to disappointing seasons in September, October, and November. Yeah, actually have a great season.
That's fair. I just think the entire state of the cornerback room right now is a reason why I'm a little more upset about this than normal. I would just like to see what this whole picture is going to look like before we get to either a preseason game or week one of the season. I know that it doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things, but this was supposed to be an unequivocal strength of the New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm not seeing any guy on the field. So we're currently in the spot where we're looking for areas of optimism. And there were a lot during the course of the offseason before anybody actually stepped on the field. Now one of your biggest strengths is quickly becoming an area where you're showing your vulnerability and your depth. So yeah. I don't love it. I don't love it. The optics of watching him grab the back of his leg and limp off the field is not the way I wanted to start my Monday.
It's also as much for me, beyond just him being on the field because you need him on the field to cover other teams' number one wide receivers, there's like a vibe thing where they know who their best players are, right?
Yeah.
Every guy in that locker room, all 91 guys in that locker room, if I ask them the same thing I asked you, hey, make a list of guys that you guys absolutely can't live without this season.
Yeah.
He's in the top three in every list in that locker room. He's either one, two, or he's probably either one or two.
Right.
I'm not sure he makes it beyond two on that list. People either say Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, or Christian Gonzalez, Drake May. And then they go down the list from there.
But he's only played 2 years and he barely played the first year.
Yeah, it tells you how crappy this football team is. If you were trying to do a top five of must stay healthy, you might not get to five on this team because there might not be five of them based on the roster I'm seeing out there and all the early competition. But my point is football seasons, teams, like there's an energy to them and there's a confidence that builds. I mean, hell, we talked about it with the Red Sox when they were winning 10 straight games. The vibe, the energy, the work, who's early. Like if you lose Christian Gonzalez, and I'm not saying he's lost, I'm hoping it's just pulled hamstring, you miss a week, you rest it. Although I hate hamstring injuries, especially at skill positions, wide receiver and corner,
because
they come back and then they pull it again, and then they miss 2 weeks the first time, they miss 3 weeks the second time, and it's lingering.
And even if you're a little bit hesitant that you're going to do it again, that split second, all right, he's gone. Not the kind of second thought you need.
But if you lose somebody like that undercuts the vibe, the culture, whatever word you want to use that you think they're building, and I do think they're building it. I like Vrabel. You know, you got these reports of him busting balls of Will Campbell on the sideline. And, like, they are setting a course of, at the very least, energy that is just moving in the right direction compared to what they've been for the last couple of years of the Kraft-labeled crap show, right? Like he said, these have been the worst. And the best way to undercut that is to lose a couple key players early. Because we know remember when Dick Vermeil cried when he lost frickin' Trent Green?
Yeah.
He literally cried. That's how deflating it is when you lose a star player like this. So on the first day in pads, for him to not make it through the whole practice, that sucks.
And you just got Terrell Williams back, too. So you're finally at least getting your defensive staff back on the field.
Notes on him, too.
Do you really? Okay.
Yeah, optimism on Terrell Williams. I was very down on him last week. Turning a corner there. We'll have all of those later in the show.
So far, your collective MVP of the offseason so far is continuing to be so, which is the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So far, everything there is clicking from what you're seeing.
Sure. I mean, I think guys are still working their way through the Josh McDaniels offense and guys talking about, you know, how hard it is and the verbiage and like it's, you know, doesn't make sense necessarily in ways other systems do.
Right.
There's a lot of very simple systems where if it starts with TR, it's like trips. You know, and if it starts with something, it's all sort of intuitive.
Yeah.
You can kind of rip and Liz when you're in high school or like you're right and you're left. Like some of it's like that. From what I understand, a lot of players are like, these are just words that I have to learn. Like you just flat out need to learn what that word means.
You just got
to
study.
It's not intuitive.
Right.
But beyond that, do I think they're going to be better under McDaniels? Do I think they have an energetic special teams coach in Springer? Do I think they have good leadership on all of the offensive line.
Right.
The players may stink, more on that later, but Doug Marrone, I think, can coach an offensive line better than anyone has coached this offensive line since Dante Scarnecchia left.
Yes. Right.
So there's confidence there in the coaches.
Good. I mean,
players, we'll get to that.
Well, I mean, that's I guess the first half of the battle has been won. If you have guys that you think veterans in the room, former head coaches, if you talked about guys that have worked their way into better spots on different staffs across the league that are at least trying to lead the blind across some of these practices that they have, that's half of it. But obviously that's not going to mean anything if you don't have players that can execute.
617-779-7937. We are reacting to Patriots training camp day one in full pads. WEEI Afternoons was there to take it all in to react to the Christian Gonzalez injury and the offensive line and Booty and Polk and all those guys on the practice field. Mike Vrabel spoke. We'll also talk to Tim Healy of the Boston Globe a little bit later about the Red Sox, where they stand. I got to tell you, my mind is starting to just spin every time I read something trade deadline related. Who's on the table, not on the table for that team, for this team? Who could go? Who could arrive? Like,
I read the ESPN deadline week preview earlier this morning. I think there were 11, 12 pitchers that like best fits the Red Sox were willing to. So, okay, so any team that sucks that has a pitcher that might be okay, the Red Sox could use.
Right.
Great. That's telling me exactly nothing.
Old, young, nothing. Starter, reliever.
There's been in the playoffs, not been in the playoffs. Absolutely. Under cost control, going to be a free agent, still fits the Red Sox.
Everybody best fit is the Boston Red Sox. So we'll talk a little bit about that later. It is Monday. No Fitzy 5. No Fitzy 5 with no Fitzy here. But we also need to touch on something we're tiptoeing around. Like, I was thinking about putting this up as the poll, and then I was like, nope, don't be that muckraker, Andy. Don't be one of those people. But you do have to ask it. When you see a guy leave like that, and we do our daily update of record predictions. Oh, practice sucked. You subtract a half game. Practice was good. You add a half game. What if Christian Gonzalez missed the season? How would that affect your – if you, Dan Ball, because where do you have him right now?
I got him at 8.
So you had him at 8.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this. I'm just asking a question that everybody does when somebody limps off. You immediately think – oh, crap. What is this team without that player?
Yeah.
What is this team without Christian Gonzalez?
I mean, that's got to be at least a game off of your total, I would think.
Minimum.
People
have been saying he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. By people, I mean aggregators on the internet, but they're people. So people are saying that he could be Defensive Player of the Year.
Kind of, sort of.
They're bots, whatever.
People with robot tendencies.
But that's the
something I identify with.
Like you said, at the very least, is an all-pro top 100 player who, based on his tone, thought he should have been higher on the top 100 when he was asked about it.
Right.
Defensive player of the year. They're going to win through defense. They have a new coaching staff. They have veteran corners. All of those things. Yeah, he's got to be wins above replacement. He's got to be 2.
Well, yeah, because to your point, like about Doug Marrone's doing a nice job coaching this offensive line better than we've seen in a couple years. The McDaniels offense has had a track record of success. They're learning it. They're getting better, whatever. All that is kind of moot if you don't have star players that are executing when all this whole picture is supposed to come together. And it's something that we talked about last week with Stephon Diggs. He's just he's a star. Like some of the stuff that you're almost not used to watching a star wearing Patriots colors, because they've been football Siberia the past couple of years, according to Tom Curran. So Christian Gonzalez is a star. You match him up against the other stars on opposing offenses across the league, and your defense has a better chance to win. You know not to throw in that direction, and even that extra split second allows Christian Barmore to get home, Keon White to get home, whoever, and all of a sudden it all kind of comes together. You pull him out, and now Davis is your one. The group of merry men that you just read out, that
27, 28, we'll just call them numbers for now.
Yeah, not number one.
They haven't
in your
heard
heart.
Their names.
Right, exactly. And we hope that we don't have to, because it slides everybody into a position where they're less comfortable and less able to produce at a high level. And that just, it undercuts what you're trying to do.
And we learned from the ESPN lists, if there's one thing, well, there's many things this team lacks, but it's stars. Christian Gonzalez is your star.
Yeah.
Everybody else, you paid Milton Williams a lot of money. Nobody around the league thinks he's a top 10 player. Christian Barmore makes $90 million. We'll get more on him, a little update from the practice field. Not great if you're paying attention. But he makes $90 million. Is he a star? No. Who are the stars on this team? Even Drake May is not a star.
Right.
You hope he's going to be a star. Right now, if you're ranking him,
drafted to be a star. Yeah.
If you rank him, he's like the 18th best quarterback in football, if
not
you're being optimistic.
Yeah.
So this team has one star. One star. And he limped off the practice field today.
Right.
That's a kick in the old training camp cojones.
And especially because you're kind of supposed to be a defensive first.
Oh, not kind of. You are.
You're, yeah.
If this defense isn't as good as it's supposed to be, then this team is not going to be as good as it's supposed to be.
Because say you take a guy that was a star and is now on the other side of 30, but I think is still at least like very popular, like known as a just pop culture Stephon Diggs, like a very well-known individual, was once a star. Now he's probably just a very good player. Say you pull him out of the offense. Well, you still got a lot of other, yes, it puts other wide receivers in bad spots, but you should still have Pop Douglas take a step. Kyle Williams, you have expectations for. Everybody loves Efton Chisholm. Like, there's depth that, while it's unproven, at least you know kind of the pecking order of who steps up. You pull Gonzalez out of that defense, and you look at what's there around to replace him on a team, as we just acknowledged, that's supposed to win games 17-10, not 30-27. it's just, yeah, that's about the one spot where you can't afford to lose that guy.
617-779-7937 if you want to react to the Christian Gonzalez injury. I didn't say overreact. If you just want to react, is there a concern here? And I love when we go to the text line and people agree with you and you're like, wait, I'm not sure I agree with you agreeing with me. The 774 says, with you, Andy, CG sucks.
There
He's
you go.
Made of paper.
There you go. Those are your people, Andy.
I don't think I said CG sucks. And
sure
that would
you
be
did.
Christian Gonzalez. He did get toasted by Kayshawn Booty today.
He was
but
hurt.
The apologist on the show said he was hurt before he was actually hurt. The hamstring injury was tightening up as he went. He got tighter and tighter.
Are
and
you
worse
discounting
and worse.
That?
I am discounting that.
Why?
Because I think he's such an elite athlete. If he felt his hamstring, he would have gone off on the sideline and had it look bad.
Oh, because athletes
would not
don't ever play through stuff.
On the first day of padded training camp practice, no chance.
He's elite and
no
he's
chance.
Upset about where he is on the top 100 list, and he's got something to prove after having it.
You thinking you move up the top 100 list because of training camp practice against Drake May and Stephon Diggs?
He is clearly bothered about the perception of him.
Which is why he wants to be on the field in week one, and he knows if your hamstring tightens up a little, get your ass off the practice field so you don't limp off and go to the training shed.
Oh, because it's going to look great when he misses the first day of padded practice because his hamstring's a little tight.
Well, that doesn't look great. He should have just walked off, had them massage it. You get a quick massage. They give one of those rollers they use. You lay down, you roll it out, get a little Gatorade, little salt, little light beer with salt in it. Great recovery drink, Stiz. Yes?
If you can save face from being dunked on in practice, you know, not the worst idea.
This is going to be interesting to watch because I do think, don't want to overreact, as I said, because I did watch Justin Fields get carted off and then jog on the field the next day. He died. I appreciate one of the Jets bloggers actually wrote, Justin Fields becomes first quarterback to die on practice field, return next day. Like, that happened. We saw that just last week. So, Christian Gonzalez, I'm not going to overreact.
Yeah.
You had to limp off. It's great that you walked off on your own.
People weren't thrilled with you, by the way. Were you reading some of your own mean tweets on the Justin Fields stuff?
Why? Because I tell it like it is?
Yeah.
I told the truth. That's what I do. I tell the truth. And the truth is, Christian Gonzalez did not make it all the way through the first Patriots padded practice of the summer. It's a major concern for a team that's supposed to win on defense, a team that's not got many superstars, and he may be the only must-have player on this roster, if you're being honest. And he limped off headed towards day two. We'll see.
Which member of the Patriots defense did you talk to today there, Andy Hart?
I did a one-on-one interview with Jack Gibbons.
Woof!
I was trying to think of his nickname. Dr. Gibby, he goes by. Vrabel calls him Dr. Gibby. Jack Gibbons, new Patriots linebacker, was with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. We'll play that interview one-on-one around 4:30.
That's an impact player right there. Jack Gibbons with EEI Afternoon.
Seems like a very...
Andy knows him. Andy loves him.
Very nice guy. They've overhauled their linebacker core, and Jack Gibbons, Robert Spillane's part of it. We'll talk to him a little bit later. Up next, though, we got to talk about the Boston Red Sox because they were dead and buried coming out of the break.
They were.
Even though we said they only need to be 6-6 in 12 games out of the break, well, when you take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, and they were the Dodgers, just because not all their good players were there or playing against you, they were the Dodgers. You take 2 out of 3, you're now 4-5 coming out of the break. You're in Minnesota. You can get to 6-6 heading into this trade deadline. We'll talk about the not surging Red Sox, but doing just enough Red Sox up next here on WEEI Afternoon, 617-779-7937. But first, Dan Ball, double duty today. Tell me what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. The Red Sox completed the series victory over the Dodgers with a 4-3 victory yesterday afternoon at Fenway Park. Brennan Bernardino with the win in relief, and Jordan Hicks recorded the final 5 outs to pick up the save. Boston is now 4-5 since the All-Star break. They begin their final series before the trade deadline tonight in Minnesota against the Twins. First pitch is at 7:40. Richard Fitz will start against Simeon Woods Richardson. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand is tonight at 6:40, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. The MLB trade deadline is on Thursday at 6 p.m. From earlier today, the Braves acquired veteran starting pitcher Eric Fetty from the St. Louis Cardinals for a player to be named later or cash, and right-hander Seth Lugo and the Royals are finalizing a 2-year, $46 million contract extension, taking one of the best potential trade trade candidates off of the market. And from around Major League Baseball, Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave as part of MLB's sports betting investigation. Clase is the second Guardians pitcher on leave tied to the investigation, joining right-hander Luis Ortiz. Clase's leave is through August 31st, MLB said in a statement. And finally, the Patriots completed their fifth day of training camp earlier today. The practice was described as run-heavy and red zone focused. Drake May went 5-6 with a touchdown. The Patriots return to the practice field tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. Want to win free groceries and epic Boston sports and concert prizes? Enter the Shaw's at Star Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Just spend $50 or more and check your receipt for your entry code. It's that easy. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons coming up right after this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Bregman drives one high and deep into left field. It is gone! A Breggy bomb, and it's 4-3 Red Sox. Grounded to the left side. Bregman picks it cleanly. On the run, throws to first. In time, game over. The Red Sox take 2 of 3 from the LA Dodgers. And you can't take your eyes off Bregman.
Nice job, Stiz. You made me laugh. That was legit, caught me off guard. I laughed. Oh, Dan, nice job.
Thank you.
That was good. That caught me off guard, too.
I've started sprinkling in when they win, because when they lose, it doesn't really have the same impact. Dude. Sprinkling in little will drops. Yeah. We have the...
Well, you can do sad Will Fleming.
That's true. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, the home runs
for the Red Sox.
Some of those consecutive home runs in innings where there's another one, and he just has that sad boy tone.
It was the Angels, yeah, and there's another homer.
Trout doesn't. Oh, now he does have one.
And that's what we want. You want the new version of swinging a pop-up from your radio
broadcast. I want you to care.
Hey, my boy OB had a great call on the Bregman home run. He continues to bring it.
Oh, wow.
He had a great call.
To suck up
to
him.
Dan is all in on this.
Stiz, what's this about, Stiz?
Like, I don't know.
Give me the background.
Maybe he's
trying to... Did you meet Dan O'Brien? Have you met him?
Who?
Have you met him, Dan O'Brien? I mean, Dave O'Brien.
I have not met either Dave O'Brien.
Owns a car company.
That's his brother.
Ninkovich podcasts.
No, I have not. There's no ulterior motive. If he wants to hire me, I don't think he has that power, but he can.
What if he wants a personal assistant?
I don't know. Let's talk numbers.
Maybe Dave O'Brien's on Cameo. I'm going to buy like a...
Yeah, there's a weird thing here. Weird infatuation.
Yeah. I mean, does it pay more than being your personal assistant? Then have the conversation.
No.
How about the Red Sox, though?
How about those Red Sox? They are a playoff team if it started right now, right?
Yep.
So they've avoided... The one thing we can say is they've avoided what we were worried might be coming, which was sort of the falling off the cliff.
So far.
Yeah, they have. They just have. They're 4-5. So
I mean, it's usually a gradual fall, but I'll give you that they haven't done it.
It looked like there was a chance it was going to be a little bit more than gradual for a little bit there.
Yeah.
You had the one outing with the walk-walk home run, which I continue to go back to, that one inning. If you don't go walk-walk home run, you're 5-4 right now, and we're talking about having a winning record heading into Minnesota, heading toward the trade deadline. They have been in a weird spot because they continue to do things. I talked about this last week on the best win of the year, according to Will Fleming, when I was like, there's still warts in there I don't like. Like
yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
How many walks?
9 in total, 5 from
Bueller. We can't
Bueller,
even use the Joe Castig line of 7. It's 2 more than that. It's 9
it's
walks.
It's hard to do. In a 4-3 game, you'd look at that number and go, it's 11-10 yeah. after 12 innings
it's
or something
crazy.
Like that.
And we continue to have these, it's the first time in Major League history or the first time in X number of years that a team has found a way to win despite doing X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Trailing by 5 runs, giving up 5 home runs, walking 9 batters. Half the time it's striking out somewhere between a dozen and 16 times in a game. Like, there's still plenty of warts.
Yeah. Yesterday, for example, was the third time in club history allowing 3-plus walks to a number 9 batter.
That's not good.
First time since 1975. I am sick of having to wake up and read all these stats and see what the Red Sox did for the first time in 50 years or in club history. Can we just win a 4-3 game that is normal for once? And the answer seems to be no.
Hey, they're winning games.
They
one-run games. They're winning extra inning games. They're doing some of the things that we said if they had done early in the year, you would have been at a different spot. You would have looked differently at the standings. But right now, they are a wild card team. And oh, by the way, nipping at the heels of the Yankees to pass them for second place in the AL East as well as the primary wild card spot. The Yankees, that would be a baseball team that just lost one of the top, and we're talking about one of the top three Patriots going down.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge, you might have heard of him. He's one of the best hitters in on the planet right now.
Top two, top three, yep.
So you lose a hitter like Aaron Judge, and they already haven't been a dominant baseball team.
Nope.
So you take that out of their lineup. There is no reason to believe you shouldn't be passing the Yankees up soon here. You got a team like the Rays that you took care of heading into the trade All-Star break that now Yadier Diaz might be a guy that's available to the Red Sox, might be a perfect candidate for first base as you start to figure things out, because now with Marcelo Meyer, side note, Marcelo Meyer, injury yet again,
mm-hmm.
which is just becoming part of his makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Midway or later in the season, whether you're at A-ball, AA, AAA, or the major leagues,
yep.
you're dealing with an injury.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
I have that in my three-point stance because there's something very concerning about
but
that.
But as you move these pieces around, we now have a different perspective at the trade deadline. I still have the same big-picture perspective. If you want the big-picture takeaway, nothing has changed for me. His name is Joe Ryan. Go get Joe Ryan.
Yeah.
He's not available. He's available. Yeah, everybody's available.
All this stuff is posturing, by
million
the way.
Million-dollar man said it best. Everybody's got a price.
Did you hear the report? Actually, it was Bradfo earlier today who said the Red Sox are no longer inclined to move
Jaron
Duran. Call me in 3 days.
You know what that felt like?
What?
Like a five-year-old's fighting on the... Oh, Joe Ryan's not available? Well, neither is Jaron Duran to take that. That's what that, like a very immature, if your guy's not available, then my guy's not available.
Right.
And then, as I think it was Sam Kennedy said, guys that weren't available late last week, all of a sudden, you get closer to Thursday, become available.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden, A.J. Preller gets a little antsy out in San Diego, and you see how much it costs to get Fernando Tatis.
But we added another layer last night, Aroldis Chapman, who's been one of the few tent poles of this team. Like, you had, the trio of all-stars that they added, obviously, but even Bregman missed some time. Kind of Crochet and Chapman have been really the only tent poles, the more I think about it.
Yeah.
Story's been up and down. Rafaela had the slow time. Like, everybody's been up and down or streaky. You had Crochet and Chapman.
Yeah.
Chapman,
and then maybe throw Narvaez in there. He's still been pretty consistent. I know, catcher's interference notwithstanding, but...
only 5 were his, I think.
Okay,
the 8
there you go. That's
his.
Fine. That's fine. And apparently, they're all Veritek's fault, but I digress.
Yes. But Chapman leaves with a little tightness in the back, which I agree with Cora. Like, it seems like they were working out of caution, although the velocity was down. He was throwing in the mid 90s instead of 100, or maybe they forgot to fluff the gun and that was the actual velocity of his pitches.
Oh, God.
But out of caution, I also just worry about an older guy. Like, that's just the, what is he, 30, 40, 39, whatever he is. Older closer, back soreness. That's just one of those things.
37.
I mean, 37.
You're
okay.
Well on your way.
A little,
late 30s?
Yeah, late 30s closer that you want to throw 100 miles an hour with back tightness. Now, you do hear that he takes great care of his body. He's a routine guy.
Yeah.
He does everything, the whole thing.
He's a giant.
And we've fallen in love with him, but that's just another layer that as you approach the deadline. And we've seen some of these relievers, and we're going to go over the lists of names later that could be Red Sox, might not be Red Sox, might be traded, might not be. Seth Lugo was removed from consideration. He signed an, I mean, assume he was removed from consideration, signed a 2-year extension with Kansas City.
Can you imagine?
Man? Which is very, very weird to me.
Why?
I just, does that happen in baseball? Like, I can't remember. In other sports, like, extensions happen, thing, oh, this guy could be traded, but now he signs in football. It's very common.
Yeah.
I just feel like in baseball, I don't really remember a guy who is in trade conversations the week of the trade deadline suddenly signs a 2-year extension to stay with the team. It just feels weird.
No, that is relatively rare now that I think about it, especially for a guy of his profile being in his late 30s and a team like Kansas City, which has shown, you know, that they'll add around the fringes. But $46 million to a guy in his late 30s is not a typical Kansas City move, but I'm happy for their fan base. I mean, that's a commitment to a guy that's been a sub-3 ERA pitcher, so I would guess he's not going anywhere.
617-779-7937. Are you buying into the Red Sox? Our big guy, when we talk to him tomorrow and for the next couple days this week, he has to buy in. He promised if they go 6-6, 12 games out of the break, Ted Johnson is jumping on the bandwagon. While they are 4-5, they're going to Minnesota. They just need to take 2 out of 3, and they don't have to face Joe Ryan. He might even join their team at some point later in the week.
Please.
So, Ted Johnson, get your butt ready to jump on the bandwagon. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Jake in Boston. What are your thoughts on your Boston Red Sox, Jake?
Well, a couple things. Number one, I do think that Paul Skenes is sneakily on the market for a very lucrative price, and that is because Pittsburgh needs to deal him before his eventual Tommy John surgery, which is going to happen given how hard he throws. That's number one. Number two, I am still triggered this past weekend from watching Mookie Betts walk around our infield in that beautiful Brooklyn Dodgers cap. And then, you know, every so often I'd notice the Fenway signage, you know, flash up to the woke stuff that they've had up there since 2020. And I'm thinking, like, you know, this ownership has made a big deal about Tom Yawkey over the years. And I think his views evolved to be more in line with our public viewpoints over time. Meanwhile, the Red Sox ownership has gone from being very free spending to being very, very cheap.
Jake, what the hell does this have to do with anything?
They didn't want to pay the best African-American player they've ever developed, number one. Number two, do they want to pay anyone, period, because they traded Rafael Devers. That was another big money contract that they... So they've gone from being very free-spending, very cheap, and it was very noticeable when Mookie Betts was there.
All right, thanks for the call, Jake.
I don't know what that has to do with race, but...
That brought a lot of stuff together. I mean...
That was a bit too conspiratorial for my taste.
If you go back and remember, and I get... There's a lot of time on, you know, water under the bridge here. A lot of the issues with the Red Sox, if you believed their side of things, is their books had gotten out of whack. They were above the tax threshold for 3 straight years. So if they signed, it was a little Celtics-like. It was a little second apron.
Yeah.
And if they had signed him for $300 million, it would actually be $475 million with the penalties and dollar for dollar and all the, I don't remember all the details. And the second part of it was baseball was going in a certain way with contracts, which it's gotten back to. And then COVID hit, and Mookie Betts signed for less than he was asking for, I think, because he said, you know what, I'm going to take the money that's on the table because I have no idea what the hell this pandemic is going to do to sports, the world, the economy, baseball. So there are some extenuating circumstances. That being said, I'm with everybody else. If you still want to be pissed off that Mookie Betts comes to town every once in a while with the Brooklyn Dodgers, because that's the hat they had on.
Right.
The Los Angeles Dodgers, you have every reason to be mad about that.
For sure.
He's a generational Hall of Fame talent who should have never left.
Yeah, he's going to
figure out the rest.
He's going to go into the Hall of Fame in that Dodgers hat, presumably, and that's going to be another kick to the groin of Red Sox fans who were alienated by him leaving.
Right, but like my comparison to the Celtics, so you got in some weird financial positions. You didn't trade Brown and Tatum. You got rid of other pieces. You figured it out in other ways. The Red Sox didn't do that. They got rid of Mookie Betts and kept Devers in the long run over Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts. Although Bogaerts kind of stinks now in that contract that San Diego gave him.
Yeah,
is awful.
We'll see where Devers goes on that as well, but they were bullied into the Devers one. So
they were. Well, they kind of bullied themselves, though.
Yeah.
If you signed Betts, you don't have to sign Devers. You can let the guy who doesn't want to play any position and it doesn't really compete for the team and just cares about himself. And now, if you've been watching out west, is booting the ball all around at first base. But
gee,
hey,
who could have seen that coming?
I mean, he was getting outs, technically. Technically, yeah. He was getting outs.
Of the two that were available for him to get, he was at least getting one of the outs. Yeah, you're right.
617-779-7937. Continuing to react to the Red Sox as we come up toward Thursday's trade deadline there in Minnesota, getting ready to take on the Twins. We see your calls lining up. We also need to react to the manager's reaction. He was not happy Saturday at Fenway Park. He didn't go over the top. He didn't flip a desk or yell at anybody. But I thought he made it quite clear he was not happy. And you know who he wasn't happy with? You people listening, the manager's mad at you. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
You mentioned a couple times recently that the atmosphere here has felt like October.
Not in the first inning. That was oof. That was Dodger Stadium like, to be honest with you. I never seen so many people from the opposition in one ballpark. That was different. Yeah, credit to them. They've done an amazing job throughout the years. Getting into October making a habit of that, and their fan base, you know, they travel well, but that was loud. That was very loud. Never seen anything like that.
Okay, this happens to me a lot. That's Alex Cora Saturday complaining about Fenway Park when the Dodgers are hitting home runs and there's a lot of cheering going on. But this happens to me, Stiz. You play it, and I think it's when I hear it through my headphones.
Okay.
A little louder.
Yeah.
And I maybe listen a little bit closer.
Blocking out the noise, just listening to what's in front of you, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I no longer think he necessarily was ripping the fans there.
Really?
I think he was ripping the front office.
Can we do it again?
You still have it play up that this? Again.
October.
Not in the first inning. That was oof. That was Dodger Stadium-like, to be honest with you. I never seen so many people from the opposition in one ballpark. That was different.
Yeah.
Credit to them. They've done an amazing job throughout the years. Getting into October.
Stop.
Making a habit.
There it is. Perfect.
He basically said, when you build a team that actually plays in October,
getting into October,
playoff games, wins World Series, that's how you fill ballparks, and it doesn't matter where. They bring the excitement with them. Why do we not have that kind of excitement even on our home-friendly Fenway? Because we haven't done any of that over the years. We fade into oblivion over the years, finish in last place. We don't do anything at the damn trade deadline. We don't take advantage of seasons when we're 53-47 or whatever the hell record is, has been three straight years in the middle of the season. I am letting you fans off the hook. We'll get to ask him tomorrow, Alex Cora, 2:30 here on WEEI Afternoons. But I initially thought he was pissed at fans, and that's right. Where I was. I was like, the team doesn't invest, and then you don't invest. But he's calling out the team for not investing. He's saying, because the Dodgers invest, and because the Dodgers have built a consistent winner, they travel like that. Why don't we do that, Craig Breslow?
Thank you. I'm glad somebody actually was willing to go and say that out loud. And I would like to congratulate John Henry and Fenway Sports Group on accomplishing their goal. Because Fenway was packed this weekend. It was packed to the gills. There were fans everywhere.
The business was good.
The business was good.
The ball club was bad.
The ball club, the actual fans that are supposed to be rooting for the team that you own were bad.
Right.
Because you have spent the last half decade plus, we don't need to relitigate all of this, but you spent the last half decade plus.
This guy.
If it It annoys me because
it should.
You've alienated your fans by get. We just had the conversation about Mookie and Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. These guys who, whether you like them or not, whether they were overpaid, are homegrown stars that you saw jerseys as far as the eye could see. Your Betts, your Bogaerts, your Benintendis, your Bradleys, your Christian Vasquezes, these guys that came up through the system who were Red Sox stars that you got rid of, crying poor as you did that, just to replace them with guys who were not as good and had no relationship with your fan base, and then you continue to charge $1 million for tickets and beer and hot dogs, and you've just monetized the Fenway Park experience. Come tour America's most beloved ballpark. Take a picture. Put it on Instagram. Buy our $20 beer and our $15 hot dog. We don't care what jersey you're wearing, what color you're wearing. Just sit there and pay us, and we'll be happy. They're sitting in right now what they've created for about a half decade.
I just didn't expect the manager to be the one. He's good, too.
Me neither.
Because he points things out in a way that isn't over the top.
Yep.
It's subtle, but if you really listen and think about who he's talking to or why he's saying what he's saying, he says things.
Absolutely.
So tomorrow, when we interview Alex Cora at 2:30,
I will pussyfoot into that question.
Andy is going to ask him, so Alex, who were you more upset with, the fans or the front office?
And he will say, ha ha ha, and then he'll have a really good answer.
Or a good baseball
team. Don't
matter,
the question got asked.
He'll laugh and have a good answer. But no, you're right, because I was doing this watching the game when you're like, we want to like the Boston Red Sox right now. We want to like this team. And this team has some fun future players. Roman Anthony might be a Hall of Famer, as Tom Caron predicted on the Nesson pregame show on Friday night that I was watching.
Yes.
Picked him as a future Hall of Famer. Felt a little early, but whatever.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, Teoscar Hernandez. You watch them and you're like, damn.
Yes.
Damn. That's either a guy the Red Sox couldn't get, wouldn't get, wanted to, interest kings, and they just line him up, and then they pump him through, and they trade him away, and they do whatever they need to do. And then they have other guys that you're like, it's not Ohtani and Freeman and Betts. And you're
no,
like,
but they're
wait,
homegrown
that guy's
guys.
315?
Yeah, they're like, homegrown
yes.
guys. You may have never heard of them before.
We'd be excited about that are the core of the Red Sox. For the Dodgers, they're the second half of the lineup. They're the complementary weapons around the big money free agent signings or trades. And
right.
They have built a monster. That's almost like a traveling carnival of baseball, like, exhibition.
Yeah, it's got a bit of, like, Harlem Globetrotters.
Whatever.
Even Savannah. Yeah, but, like, the Dodgers are coming to town is an event, which is what the Red Sox are supposed to be.
Right.
Based on the financial workings of the franchise and the fact that you, the Yankees, and the Dodgers were supposed to be the power of baseball. The Dodgers are a spit in the face of Red Sox fans because they are everything that you were sold that the Red Sox under the post-Dombrowski era were supposed to be.
I mean, literally, we were sold that Chaim Bloom was Andrew Friedman.
Yes.
Like, he's going to do the Tampa thing with money. Like, that was basically what you were going to run it developmentally like Tampa, but have the money like the Dodgers and
right.
the big market and
well,
blend
which is,
those
that's
two.
Just the Dodgers now. That's just what the Dodgers
yes.
are. They have the development. They have great prospects. And some of them, to your point, some of them they promote and keep and become stars in their own right from, you know, the Jock Peterson, Cody Bellinger era to where they are now.
And then they move on when they need to.
Right. And then the others they use as trade pieces to go bring in the veterans and the stars that they need to be a World Series contender. They are everything that you want to be, which is so frustrating.
And it's even more frustrating when it is right in front of you on full display at Fenway Park on the field.
Yep.
What they're doing, hitting home runs, and off the field because their fans are watching their traveling carnival of baseball. Like it's sort of like a carnival. The bearded woman, the strongest man, all these things are on full display. That's the Dodgers. They were at Fenway Park. The manager was annoyed. Initially, I thought at you, the fan, but then I realized he's more annoyed at the front office,
good
the
man.
Organization.
Good man.
Build a winner and they will come. You will not have Dodgers fans at Fenway Park. You'll have all Red Sox fans if you build that kind of a baseball team. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, coming up on 3 o'clock. That means it's time for the three-point stance. And Dan Ball in the big chair today for Ted Johnson and Fitzy is fired up. We'll also have Brian Ferzocco joining the show to give his three-point stance, which I'm just going to assume has to do with the NBA because he only wants to talk basketball.
Surprise you.
Oh, he's going to surprise me. A surprise.
He might.
Surprise three-point stance up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.